components of our vision statement. So you might ask, what is our vision statement? Well, there's a phrase that we put on the front of our bulletin every week. Okay, this is our mission statement. This is why we exist as a church. It says our mission is to be a growing community of Christ followers who are disciples making disciples. This is why we as a church exist. This comes from directly out of Matthew 28, 18 and 20, which is the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples before he left earth to return to his Father. This is what we are orienting ourselves as a church towards. Because if we are not a community of Christ's disciples who are making disciples, we are not fulfilling the great commandment that he gave us, the great commission that he gave us. And so over the next few weeks, we've broken our mission statement down. We've got a mission statement and we've got a vision statement. And our vision statement has five components to it. And we're going to be looking at those over the next few weeks. But the first one is, how do we do this? How do we be a community of Christ followers who are disciples making disciples? The first way we do this is through fellowship. Now, fellowship. The question is, what is that? It's not a word that is in common English usage today, in most circles. And it's a word that has had many meanings and connotations over the years. The church that I grew up in had a fellowship hall. Now, you guys remember going to a church that had a fellowship hall, right? So whatever happened in there, that must be fellowship, right? I remember a lot of potlucks, okay? I remember games. You know, that's what happened in the fellowship hall. Okay, so that's one aspect of fellowship. But I mean, also, fellowship is in our name. This is Central Fellowship Baptist Church. So if we break that down, Central, you know, we're in the central part of town. Fellowship, Baptist, you know, Baptist, and church. But I think we can all, you know, figure out what those words are. But fellowship is sometimes kind of ambiguous. Well, why is it important enough that it's in our name? So what does it mean? Well, there's, if you go to the dictionary, you'll find that there is, the various definitions of it include things like sharing or participation, holding things in common. Fellowship is just that. It's having a reason to be together. And this is something that is far beyond simple acquaintance or casual acquaintance, simple, shallow relationship. Fellowship is about coming together and having something in common that gives you a purpose for being together. Now, the importance of fellowship is seen throughout the New Testament. As you read through the New Testament, there is over 60 passages that tell us about how to relate to one another. And more than half of those are commands to love one another. So when we're in fellowship, when we're being together, it's about the being together and the one another. And so fellowship is a very important concept in the Bible. It begins with what we have in common. So what do we have in common? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 summarizes it very clearly. It says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." You see, what we have in common is our calling in Christ. If we have placed our faith in Christ, if we have accepted the gift of salvation that is offered through Christ and Christ alone, the gospel is what we hold in common. And this passage, it goes on in 1 Corinthians 12, but this whole idea of when it was written to the Corinthians that there was no longer Jew or Gentile or slave or free was an extremely radical concept in that time. The gospel broke through barriers in society that were considered unbreakable by most. What we as followers of Christ who are in fellowship together is more powerful than anything else in our culture, in our society. It is a calling together that we are one in Christ and there is nothing that is to divide us. We have one calling in the gospel. That is the heart of our fellowship, that we have the gospel, that we have the work of Christ in our lives in common. Now, we have a great thing in common, but that doesn't mean we don't have our differences. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 12, he writes, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not be for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." You see, we are all different. God has created each and every one of us uniquely, the way that He intended us to be. Every one of us is made the way we were supposed to be. As Paul says here, what would happen if we were all the same? You know, you can get together with people that are just like you, right? Isn't it great fun being with people that are just exactly like you, right? Wouldn't the world be simpler if everyone was just like you, right? I think this is illustrated with, you know, the one thing that is the foundation of modern society, which is the Lego brick, right? The Lego brick. Now, what I have here is I have a bin of Legos. And I know it's hard for you guys to see there, but this entire bin is gray 2x4 bricks. Every single one of these bricks is exactly the same. Now, I have been, you know, it's all right, I got more. I have been a fan of Lego for pretty much my whole life. I've got a collection of Lego that spans most of the last 40 years. And, you know, and it has a, takes up some space in our closet that somebody in our home would like to free up. But it's good. So I can take Legos. And I'm just going to quickly put all of these together. Now, all of these Lego bricks, like I said, every single one of them is exactly the same. That's actually one of the great things about Lego, is that they are made to such precision that you can take a brick that was made 60 years ago and you can fit it together with these bricks that were just bought in the last month. Yeah. Katie, can you pick those up for me, please? Because, you know, I pick up enough of your toys. So, thank you, sweetheart. So, I'm just going to finish this up here. All right, so everyone that's got kids, right, you're familiar with Legos. You've played with them with your kids. Maybe after the kids have gone to bed, you play with them by yourself. It's all good. We've stepped on them. I've still got some more there. But here's a great little thing that I just built. Any ideas what this is? Okay, yeah, you know. But it's great because every single brick is exactly the same. So you can have a lot of fun with just one kind of Lego brick, okay? Just leave that there. But the thing is, there are actually over 30,000 different Lego bricks. different pieces, different sizes, different shapes. And every Lego set that you get comes with all different kinds of components, right? And so, when you get a Lego set, you know, you can do, it's the danger of leaving it on stage. You can have, with enough Lego bricks, with enough diversity of Lego bricks, you can build something that is tremendously detailed. Now, this was a rocket. This is a rocket. This has just shy of 2,000 pieces in it. And of those 2,000 pieces, there are hundreds and hundreds of different pieces. So too, every single person that God has created is different, is unique. And none of us can say, you know what? I'm no good because I'm not a 2x4 brick. None of us can say that I just don't have a place to fit because I'm not like them. I'm smaller. And when it comes to a Lego brick, there's pieces that are big and small. There's pieces that are thin. There's pieces that have got the little studs on the side. Every piece is different. And so just like there is a great diversity of Lego brick, there is a great diversity of followers of Christ. The thing is, when we come together, we recognize that even if we're different, we can still be in fellowship together. We are still a part of one body. Like I said, every Lego is made to such precision that every brick made for the last 60 years fits with every other brick. And when put together, you use your imagination, you know, kids and grown-ups, is the reason why it's, you know, Lego has been used by engineers, by architects, as well as children. Despite the differences in the different kinds of bricks, you need the different kinds of bricks to use it to its full potential. And that is the second thing about being in fellowship, is that fellowship is working together. Just to continue on in 1 Corinthians 12, starting again at verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You see, different parts can do far more together than parts that are all the same. Parts that seem insignificant can actually be vitally important. One of the things you can't see with this rocket, but there is actually one of the smallest pieces that Lego makes, is a little, some of you that know Lego are going to know, this little 1x1 square plate with a little clip on it. Those tiny little pieces that have been bane of my existence in many sets are actually what hold this entire thing together. You may look at this and go, those are some really nice rounded white pieces. They're nice and new, they haven't yellowed yet like Lego does over time, but they are what gives the rocket its look. And yet, the entire thing is held together by one of the smallest troublesome pieces in the whole catalog of 30,000 pieces. You see, if Lego bricks could talk, and they do to me sometimes, but that's another story, the pieces on the outside can't say to the little clips on the inside, you are not important enough because nobody sees you. The little clips on the inside can't say, nobody sees me, so who cares if I'm in here? Every one of these nearly 2,000 pieces is essential for holding this thing together and making it look the way that it looks. And so, like the Lego brick, it is when we together recognize and celebrate our differences and how we are differently gifted, when we remember what we have in common, that is the gospel, that is our faith in Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. When we remember our common calling in Christ, when we come together and work together. See, these bricks could also just be, remember, when you get a Lego set, they come in a box full of bricks, right? They're all loose. They need to be put together piece by piece so that they come together. You don't buy a set like this just to have a big pile of bricks. You buy it to have the model that is going to come out or to build with it. And that is the next essential component to fellowship. So that fellowship is not just remembering what we have in common or remembering that we have our differences or remembering that we need to work together. Fellowship is also a fellowship of purpose. Fellowship always has a purpose. See, the church does not exist simply to make us feel better about ourselves. The church does not exist to give you something to do on Sunday morning. The church does not exist to simply be a place where we make friends. The church does not exist to have potlucks. These are all things that we do, but that is not the core reason why we exist. Our church, every church that is serious about following Christ, has a purpose, and that is the purpose that Jesus gave us. To go out and to make disciples. Jesus gave us that purpose, and it is our job to live it out. I think that this is beautifully illustrated in the book, in The Lord of the Rings. And what's the first book or the movie? What's the first one called? There we go. Fellowship of the Ring. Now, hobbits aside, they didn't just get together for food. They had a purpose. What was their purpose? There we go. To get, and how they did it, the ring, right? The Fellowship of the Ring. The whole Lord of the Rings series is about getting the ring to Mordor to destroy it. It is called the Fellowship of the Ring, and it's important, you know, Tolkien is writing from a decidedly Christian perspective. There is intentionally themes in there that echo the story of God and of good and evil in our world. And so, when Tolkien called this the Fellowship of the Ring, and when you look at that group that gets together, they are a diverse group. And there's even some rough edges between them. But they have a purpose. And they continue to push on to fulfill that purpose right up until the very end. Fellowship, true fellowship, has a purpose. And as a church, our purpose is given to us by God to go out to make disciples. Fellowship, finally, has a cost. Now, like most things in life, we don't get much out of something if we don't put much into it. Fellowship comes with a cost. This is illustrated. So I was reviewing, preparing for this morning's message. The word that we find that is usually translated fellowship in the New Testament is koinonia. You've probably heard that word tossed around if you've been around the church for any period of time. But one verse that jumped out at me is Hebrews 13, verses 16. And I'm sorry, this one's not on the screen. But the verse is, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Amen. You say, the word fellowship's not in there. You're right. It's not. However, sometimes when anyone who speaks more than one language knows the same word is sometimes translated differently in different contexts. And here, to share is actually fellowship. So do not neglect to do good and to fellowship, to share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Fellowship comes at a cost, and there will be sacrifice. Jesus told us when people were asking about following him, he said, in Matthew, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Wouldn't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Now this is, at times, is not a popular message. We don't like to hear that. Sometimes something's going to cost me. But being a part of the body of Christ will always come with a price. And this isn't just simply, it's the church. They're going to ask me to tithe. They're going to pass the plate. It's not the cost we're talking about. It's a part of it. It's a part of being a part of the church, of a church family, is supporting it. But it's not just about money. It's about time. It's about other resources. It's about not even just the contribution that you bring to the church family, but at times being a Christian is going to just cost you. There are times where it's going to be unpopular to stand up for what you know is true. There are times where walking with Christ is going to be hard. Jesus never told us the road was going to be easy. Never told us that following him was going to be easy. This is why he is talking about counting the cost. If you want to be his disciple, you have to be willing to pay a price. And that price will be different for every one of us. Now, the flip side of that is the rewards in eternity are beyond our comprehension. And so Christ did not promise us an easy road, but he did promise that we would never be left alone. And he did promise us that we will dwell with him forever in his Father's house. And that end goal is going to make any cost we pay along the way pale in comparison. But until that day where we see Christ face to face, whether it be when he returns or when our journey on this earth ends, there's going to be a cost between now and then. And we need to be in fellowship with one another. We need to be walking together, supporting one another, recognizing that we are all uniquely gifted and that none of us have gifts that are more important than anyone else. That God has not made any one of us to be more important than the others. And this at times will be hard. One of the illustrations that really drove this home for me was I was listening to another pastor speak about church revitalization a few years back, and he shared the story of he being at this church that has grown significantly over the years and has been faithful, and God has done tremendous things through the ministry at that church. And he was at it was a large anniversary celebration for the church, and there was this woman there who was in her 80s, and she'd been there from the beginning. And he took her aside and he asked her, he said, wow, so you've been at this church like for the whole, I believe it was 60 plus years. And she said, yeah. And he said, so you were here when this church started, it was just a tiny little German congregation. She says, yeah. And you were here when you moved into the, when services started to be done in English. And she says, yeah. She said, how was that? She says, that was hard. She said, you were here when you moved out of that first building that the congregation had built with their own hands into a new facility. And he said, how was that? He said, that was hard. He said, and you were here when the organ disappeared and the music style changed. And he said, how was that? He says, that was hard. And you were here, and he asked her about several major changes that this church had gone through over the years, through changes in leadership, through changes in style. And she said, that was hard. The changes were hard. And she said, but you know what? I would do it all again because I have seen God move through this church. And so as we go from here, we are committed to being a church of disciples. Like I said, there are five components to what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Fellowship is the first. We're going to be looking at our commitment to teaching, our commitment to worshiping God, our commitment to serving, and our commitment to evangelizing. These five things, as we walk through them over the next 4 weeks and at Life Together on Wednesdays, we're going to go a little bit deeper. These are the five things that as we look at the New Testament, we as a church are commanded to do if we are going to be a church. And I'm starting with fellowship because we have to start with being together, with a commitment to being together in what we hold in common in the gospel and in the diversity of how God has made each and every one of us. We have to be together in partnership, not just because, hey, we are all really cool people that are fun to be with, but because God has called us to be here at Central Fellowship Baptist Church, to be growing disciples who are following Him and who are going out and are making new disciples. And so as we go into this fall, as we go into the year ahead of us, I am excited. I am so excited as we commit to be in fellowship together to fulfill the mission that Jesus Christ has given us as the church as a whole, worldwide. Every follower of Christ has that command, that great commission to be making disciples. But here we are exploring how God is calling us to that right here in Prince George in 2018. And it is going to be an incredible journey. And I invite every single one of you, join us. Join us. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be a cost. But it is so worth it. And so will you join us? Will you join us as we go? And I just want to leave you with these questions as we go from here. As you come to church, are you coming as a participating partner or are you coming to observe? Are you concerned with the way, with style, with personal preference, or with the mission that we have to make disciples? Because that is why we are here. And finally, this is a question that we all need to ask ourselves on a regular basis as we come. Our fellowship is about being together, about loving one another, about working together, about supporting one another, about building deep relationships. But it all is for the express purpose of being reproducing disciples. And so we must constantly ask ourselves, do we love our fellowship more than our mission? Do we love the benefits of fellowship, of being together, more than the lost that God has placed in our path? So as we go this fall, that is where we're going. And I ask, will you join us? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have called us. We thank you that you have called each and every one of us. That every one of us has been created, that has been designed expressly by you. That every single one of us has a role to play as we fellowship together to make disciples for you. Father, I pray that as we go forward, that each person would remember, would recognize, and see how you have uniquely created them to fulfill the mission you've given us. Father, that you would help us to see that not one person is insignificant, that not one person has the wrong gifts or the wrong skills, or is not gifted or skilled enough. Because you have created us, and you don't make mistakes. And it is your desire that each and every one of us, Lord, joins together to fulfill the mission you've given us. And so, Father, I pray for us as a church. I pray that as we fellowship together, that we would not ever lose sight of our purpose. That we would continue to push forward. That we would continue to be a church that is on mission for you. That we would love the lost. That we would love you. And that we would just fulfill whatever you have laid before us here. In our neighborhood, in our families, in our community, and wherever you call us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.